Squid Comics, season 17, episode 2.
It's season 5, episode 3.
Dang it. That's so close.
So close.
Season 5? Anyway.
I think it's season 5, episode 3.
Feels like we've been doing this for 20 years.
I think
well,
you have.
Well, seasons for later. Oh, no, season 6, episode 3.
Ooh. Sorry. Was even closer than
even
you thought.
Closer.
Was even closer.
Jeez. Were you like season 17?
Yeah, I said season 17,
yeah,
episode
2.
I'm Scott.
Oh, I'm Drew.
I'm Don.
And you don't know who you are?
We are the Evil Squid Podcast. We get together every couple weeks and we talk about
whatever's on
comic
our minds.
Books, what we've watched, board
politics,
games, politics,
boards, board games,
politics, Super Bowl. Oh. Who's gonna watch what?
You
on
guys got me all riled
service?
Up on politics last time after the show, and that made everybody mad. And I couldn't even go to sleep because I was so.
Oh
wow,
we did last time, yeah, because well, we did talk about. Trump or something. I don't remember that. So yeah,
it's fine.
I think it was your fault, actually.
I've given up on.
Don even turned to me as he's like, "You don't mean that." I'm like, "I kind of do."
It was the fact that he doesn't like any politicians
That's
at
true.
All.
That's
he
true.
Thinks all of them are.
Oh, corrupt. I don't like any of them that we have right now either.
No, I mean,
no,
ever.
He just in general ever, you
oh.
know, new ones, old ones, doesn't ones that are matter. Currently employed, whatever. Mm. So.
But after I said that, I thought about it. There's
back
a couple.
In the...
There's a couple that I think. Maybe aren't horrible.
Back in the...
I did think about it a little bit.
17 and 1800s and maybe the early 1900s before sure. it got to be like yeah. a power.
I
when
think
people
I...
were like, I'll do it because it's a duty for the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll
well,
serve
they
my...
were
and I think even it. People probably in the 80s, 90s, and even some of the ones in the 2000s were that way. I think right now we don't have any of that, though. I guess that's my point.
Well, and part of the thing, though, was, too, I feel like back... When we did, and maybe I'm totally wrong. I'd probably have to do some research here. I'm probably going to be totally off base. But I've got the feeling the discrepancy between what we were paying some of the guys in Washington to what other people could make at other jobs has gotten more and more as time has gone on. I think back in probably the maybe the 1900s, maybe, you know, at least in the 1950s and stuff, working as a politician and working in, you know, some other sectors was probably – fairly equivalent, you know, maybe a little bit more that you were making as a politician, but
yeah,
now that discrepancy is so wide that you got more and more people that try to
well, yeah,
get those jobs.
You don't have to pay
well,
for
back,
postage.
Well, back then they had, yeah. Well, back then they had to make their money with through corruption. They couldn't make it in their salary. You know?
That's true too. So they were taking bribes.
Corruption, taking bribes. And now they get all the money and they get the bribes.
Yeah. Now Trump just gets into office so he can make more money.
Oh, yeah. I think he's... I don't know.
That's the only reason.
I don't want to talk politics. We're going to talk comic books, TV shows, and movies.
Yay!
All right.
So I was watching this TV show called CNN.
So, did you finish Succession?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
What'd you think?
Okay. I have questions.
All right. I have
a question about your opinion because I don't know how I feel.
So, I asked my wife, I was like, well, who do you think is the least worst of the three main siblings? Well, I first said, who's the least worst? And she's like, Cameron. I'm like, no, Cameron doesn't count. I was like, who's the least worst of
Rome.
The...
Roman.
Right? Okay. He is the least worst. And I think I figured out why I think that. It's because he actually knows he's horrible and he's okay with it, right? Whereas the other two, they're convinced they're great or they're convinced they're better than they are. Whereas Roman, I don't think... He likes himself that much anyway. And so I feel like he's a little more honest about who he is. But anyway, that's my take. Anyway, what did you think?
I mean, the show was good. It wasn't like the greatest thing ever.
It wasn't. It's a little built up.
Built up. But I mean, it's good. Like, it held my attention. I wanted to watch it. I wanted to. But then again, so I don't know why, but I've been thinking about that show. Probably more than I should. Not like a lot, but... Okay, so my question is...
All right.
Why do you think that Shiv gave up at the very end and voted it out to sell the company? Because she's the one. She's the reason why it all fell apart.
Yeah.
Did she do it because she was tired of all the bullshit? Did she do it because... She wasn't going to be able to run the company, or did she do it because she didn't think that Kendall could do it, and so she wanted to get out, or did she do it because she knew that her husband was going to step back in, so she'd be able to keep a little bit of the power either way. Because she wasn't.
I don't think so.
Why do you think she did it?
I think it's all those reasons you listed. Like, I think she didn't think Kendall could do it well, and she was tired of him, and she was tired of all the crap. And I think she's getting ready to be a mom, right? I think she just wanted to be done with it. You know what I mean? Like, she just wanted that part of her life to be over. Her dad was dead, and it wasn't going to be the same anyway. And I'm pretty sure she didn't think Kendall and Roman were going to be good at it or whatever. And so I think she just thought about it at the end. It was like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I can't figure out why.
I mean, that'd be my guess.
I can't figure out why she did it. And that seems like the most important part, like, at the very end. And that's the other thing, like, that show, it's like, that was, like, the third or the fourth time where Kendall thought he was going to take it.
Right? I know, right?
And it was just like, Every time, my God, another one? And then they'd be like, oh, there's no way they're going to do it. And then they'd come back and they'd be like, oh, we're almost there. And then something would happen at the very end and would just screw it all up.
I know, right?
And then Shiv did that because they were in there fighting. Her and Kendall were fighting before she voted. And then she's like, okay, screw it. I'm just going to go. And then she went in and voted it out.
Yeah.
And then one of the other things I think of, because at like one point Kendall, like when they were trying to buy him out or whatever, like they were going to pay him $2 billion.
That's what I'm saying. Why would he just, who wouldn't take $2 billion just to be done with that BS?
Right.
Because they're all so full of themselves and they want the power, they want the influence, and it's all ego.
Right. Well, and so I thought about that a lot too, because from our perspective, the common person, which that, like, I, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, not common person, but anybody that's not like a multi-billionaire and hasn't grown up in a multi-billionaire family, like common Americans, like, they offer me $2 billion to get out, and I don't have to go into the office and deal with all that bullshit and everything else. I'd be like, I'm buying an island,
but
I'm out. But that was the
There's
thing.
There's nothing that Kendall's not going to get materially for $2 billion that he's not getting now, right?
Exactly.
So there's no monetary.
There's no reason. Right, and that's what I was saying. Like, you throw that out because there's no money. So it was all just. And then I thought, well, it's just because he's trying to hold on to that power.
Yeah.
But also too, it's like then.
Well, he wanted to be his dad, right? He wanted to just prove that he could do what his dad did, even though he really could not.
Right. But and then also it's like, well, okay, well, what does he do? Like, he's retired at 40 with $2 billion. What does he do?
Whatever he wants.
I know, but him, the way he's so, like, in his head, trying to be his dad and trying to prove everything, like that was perfect at the end because he just went to the park bench and sat down and stared out at the water or the ocean or whatever. Like, he has nothing left to, like, live for. You know, like, he has no reason, which is so sad because...
He's got a family. He's got kids.
But he hasn't been around him the whole year.
So maybe spend some time with your family.
No, he's not going to do that. Like, he wouldn't do that. That's not in his character. And the thing is, it's like...
As someone who's raised kids, it can be a full-time job if you want it to be.
No, I know, but I'm saying his character, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And those kids, like, it's not their fault. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
No, it isn't. Their dad
screwed
them up.
Because their dad screwed them up.
Yeah, no, totally. They had a horrible father.
They had a horrible father
who taught them to be horrible.
And he messed with their heads so bad.
Oh, I know.
And all... That's what... Like, I kept talking, like... I'd look at Barbara because their dad would, like, just totally fuck them over.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, oh, hey, Dad, like, can we come to dinner? Like, they're still trying to get that approval from their dad.
Yeah, I know, because he had them, like, so manipulated.
Every time, and I'm like, I'm just like... Like, who would put up with that shit? Like,
I know.
Who would put up with that shit? I would be out.
It was like an abusive relationship, you know what I mean? Where the person keeps going back to the abuser.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. It's not their fault. That's what's cool about that show, is there's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of layers, you know? And you're like, well, why did Shiv do that? It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's Shiv. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why she did it. I don't even think she could tell you why she did it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the thing. It's complex.
Yeah.
The characters are complex and they feel real.
What was funny on
what
that?
What do you think about Greg's transformation from, like, a total moron to a total tool by the end?
Yeah, he
was so bad by the end.
Right. I did like, if there's one one person. I think it was Tom. Like, Tom did some bad stuff, don't get me wrong. But I think Tom was like, I don't know. Like, he's not a horrible person, right?
I mean, but he definitely did
he's going to turn into it now that he's like the CEO, because he's going to have to. Yeah. But like, getting to that point, he wasn't like a horrible, horrible person. I kind of liked him.
He actually loved Shiv.
Yes.
Even though she treated him like horribly.
And she didn't love him, which.
Correct.
Yeah. Which, that night that they did the pre-election or whatever, when they were all over the house and they had the party, and he's just like, dude, I gotta go to bed. Like, I gotta go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then Shiv just like, oh, now's the time I'm gonna pick a fucking fight with you.
Yep.
And I'm gonna say horrible things to you, and I'm gonna do this, and he's just sitting there going, I just want to go. And
was that when he kept saying he had a headache?
I think so.
He said that a bunch in like two or three episodes in a row. Yeah. I was wondering if he's gonna have like a brain tumor or something. Like, something's gonna weird happen.
So he's like, there's this, all these people over his house. Him and his wife are kind of on the rocks anyway, right? And he's like the head of the news channel or whatever. And the presidential election is like the next day, like the most important day
Newsday.
And he's like talking to her. He's like, I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. And they're like out on the balcony of their apartment or whatever. And then she's like, okay, well, let's just start talking about shit. And she's just like laying into him. And he's just like sitting there. And then she's just like, okay, fine, screw you. I don't love you anyway. And I hate you and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, okay, cool.
Can I go to bed now?
Right. I looked at Barbara and I go, see, that's why you guys should just let us go to bed when we want to go to bed. I mean, he told her 8 times he just wanted to go to bed, and then she had to pick a fight, and then the whole thing's over. But and then that was funny, because he comes in and he's like, all right, everybody. He's like, get the fuck out of my house. It's like, I'm going to bed. And then, you know, it's this big party, and everybody thinks he's like, oh, ha ha ha, and they're still drinking. And he's like, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Get the hell out of my house. Good night. And then everybody just keeps drinking. I'm just like, but
been there.
Yeah, right. But yeah. And wow. Yeah, we could just keep going round and round.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that was really weird at the very end is like, after Tom gets it, and then he gets in the car, and then Shiv gets in the car, and then he holds his hand out like this, and she grabs his hand. Like, she didn't want anything to do with him. She did, but she didn't. It was a messed up, whatever,
relationship.
But then he gets the power, and then she's like, I almost feel like she was drawn more to the power than she was to Tom.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely. Like,
they're going to be
so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That marriage is so broken, it's no going back.
Right. And it's like that. And it's that real part where it's like, they would show them and they'd be on the phone. And neither one of them would break or go first. You know, like, your marriage is on the line and you really love that person, but you want to be you don't want to show that weakness or show that love. So you just let it go to shit before you're the one that says, you know, hey, I'm sorry, or I love you, or let's try to make it work. It's like, oh, okay. Nope, see you in court. Call my... You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, that's enough. That's really all we watched, because we finished that up.
Nice. What'd you watch? I watched a show on Netflix called Bodies.
Bodies. Oh, that's based on the comic book.
It is. It is. Although the comic book, I think, had a little bit of a...
Can we read that?
I did.
Did you read it?
It's like a DC Vertigo
book. It's a DC Vertigo book.
Okay. That came out, I don't know how long, years ago.
Many years ago. But but I think the comic book had a bit of a, what would I say, more supernatural type of feel. This one went more of a sci-fi type of thing, but it keeps the same
idea. Did you read the comic?
No. What happened was when I started watching the show, it came up and it said, based off of a graphic novel by so-and-so. I was like, what? what the hell is that? So then, of course, I had to go Wikipedia it
right.
and find out and, you know, go, oh, so that's what it is. That's how I knew it was a DC Vertigo book. Gotcha. And then, of course, it gave, like, a little synopsis, you know, of whatever. And that's where I got kind of the difference, you know. The bodies in the Netflix show is more of a sci-fi because it's based off of a time travel type of thing.
The original book, like, I wasn't that crazy about it. Like, it was okay, but I didn't, like, love it. But it's basically about, it's in three different times. The story's told in three different
timelines. Eras. It's told in different eras, and it's even more than that from what I read about the comic. But the reasoning behind it, where the bodies are, is I want to say is a bit more supernatural type of thing.
In the book. And
in the book. And then in the show, it's a bit more science fiction, where somebody figures out, oh, there's this time travel type thing. So the basis of bodies is the fact that it starts off with a detective police officer finding a body in an alley in London in like 2023. Okay. Well, it turns out this same exact body they flashed to was also found in 1945, I think, or 43, something like that. And then it was also found in like 1890. And then they do a jump where it was also found in like 2053 or something like this, you know, as well. So it's found in four different timelines, and it's by four different detectives, you know, and it's kind of what's going on in those timelines and what is going on in those detectives' lives and what they're trying to figure out. And you tend to, if ends up having like this complete, you know, you find out, of course, you know, what's going on. And there's kind of a, what would I say? It's a bit of a time circle type thing that's going on, you know, where people are related and other type of things, you know. And there's a cult that's created, you know, and things that's trying to come about to make sure certain things hit, you know, all based off of what one guy did off of time travel. So, yeah. So the first half of the series is typical Netflix where they're doing a lot of setup. It's almost a little boring, you know, in some parts because so much setup and laying out everything. The last half, it's 8 episodes long. The last 4 episodes actually take a pretty good jump and the story really starts moving then and you start figuring out how all the pieces are together and what they're actually trying to do to maybe solve the dilemma they're in, you know, type stuff. So I liked it. It just took a long time to really get going. And I could see a lot of people dropping it before then. In fact, you know, it took the wife and I, you know, several days just to get through the first episodes because we were like, yeah, do we? And then when we did stick with it, it was like, oh, well, yeah, those last 3 to 4 episodes just flew by. Mm-hmm. But it like I said, it took a little while to get it going. I thought it was pretty good, though, if you like that type of, you know, time travel, science right. type things.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch it and sort of not wanting to watch it because I wasn't really sure, but because I never really heard that much about it. Like, I never heard anything up to it. It was just like all of a sudden, boom, it was there. And then I heard like something on like a different podcast or something about it that knew that it was there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't seem like it was a huge, I went straight to like, online to see if my comics were worth like millions of dollars now since it was, you know, made into a TV show.
I don't know, Authority's been going up, I think, because of James Gunn's, you know, announcement.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I also started watching Warrior. Have you heard this one? It's on HBO Max. It's actually supposed to be coming to Netflix before long. It's based off of some writings from Bruce Lee, I guess. It started, the first series came out around 2019, or the first season came out in 2019. Then it's basically 3 seasons, 10 episodes each, came out in 2019, 2020. And then they had the hiatus due to COVID and whatever else. And like the last season 3 came out last year, but I think it was too long of a break between seasons. And I think HBO canceled it. So now maybe Netflix might pick it up. But the basic gist of it is Chinese immigrants coming over to San Francisco in like here again around 1890, almost at the turn of the century there, from the 1800s to the 1900s. And the immigrants that are there are trying to, of course, they're cheap labor. You know, this is after the Civil War. So, you know, companies are trying to find ways to get people cheap. And so they're getting the, you know, the Chinese to come and do some of their dirty work, you know, type stuff. As well as the Chinese are kind of setting up their Chinatown and who's the gangs, you know, and this type of stuff and doing like a little bit of an opium trade and things. And meanwhile, you have like the Irish immigrants, you know, and stuff that decided to go over there, you know, after the Civil War and things, and they're trying to set up lives, you know, there on the West Coast, and they're, you know, trying to fight with the Chinese here again because they're cheaper labor than these Irish guys that have been, you know, in the U.S. for some time, you know, and whatever. So it's some of those dynamics, but the basics here is one guy comes over, very much looks like a kind of Bruce Lee type, and he is looking for his sister, and he wants to ultimately bring his sister back to China, but of course then he gets caught up in the goings-on of Chinatown and the crap that's going on the West Coast, you know, and things. But there's some good martial arts and things in it. It's you know, got that period piece thing going on, you know, and things, so good production. It got some neat characters and stuff in there, so far I'm liking it, but I've only like 3 episodes in, but I think it's pretty good. There's this one part though that they're not these Irish guys, you know, they're all the good old, you know, what would you say, open fist, bare, you know, knuckle. Boxing, bare knuckle, yeah, boxers, you know, and things. And this guy, you know, comes over and he knows, you know, martial arts, and you know, the Irish, of course, don't like these guys, you know, very well, and they're trying to send this guy a message, and he gets thrown in jail. The Chinese Asian guy does, and so they're like, well, we're going to send a couple of... This guy got in jail, of course, because he, like, beat up 2, you know, Irishmen. So the Irish are like, well, we're going to sneak in there and we're just going to kick his ass. And so they make a deal with the cop, you know, and the cop's, like, bringing these 3 big old Irish boys, you know, into the jail cell, and he's just letting off the shackles, and he's like, yeah, oh, look what time it is. I got to go do some paperwork, King. You know, I'm going to go on upstairs, you know. So he goes, and of course, then the Asian guy just, like, tears them all up, you know, and stuff. And so they're all laying out, you know, when the cop comes back and he's like, holy fuck, what the hell did you do? You know, or whatever, you know, type things and stuff, you know. But then the Asian guy is going to get out of jail, and he's sitting there with the cop that, you know, let these other Irish boys in, you know. So this happens, you know, like later in the episode, but he's sitting there on this bench with the cop, and the cop's like, well, he just got... The Asian guy's about to get released. He's at the courthouse, and the cop's like, you know, those Irish boys are going to be waiting out that front door for you, you know, and they're going to just try to tear you up. He goes, you can go out the back door, you know, this is where it's at. He goes, you don't have like 3 Irishmen waiting for me at the back door, do you? And the cop goes, hell, 3 wouldn't be enough. You already proved that to me, or something like that. So, but like I said, it's pretty good, some of the interactions between some of the characters and what's going on in this stupid Asian that doesn't really, he's a great fighter, but he has like no idea what is going on in the city. So
I've been going back watching some old movies.
Ooh.
So I watched Cobra with Sylvester Stallone from like the 80s. And yeah, it's pretty bad, yeah, right? Like it's 80s. So
we watched that like
every year,
just recently.
Okay.
Now, like within the last few months.
So like it's really bad, right? Mm-hmm. Even like the one-liners are like super bad. Like it's not even well. It doesn't have good one-liners for 80s, right, or whatever. Like it's horrible, but it's fun. Like it's stupid.
Speaking of which, though, rest in peace, Carl Weathers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, from Predator, Rocky, all that other type of stuff. Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
That's right. Yeah.
So then I decided I was going to watch Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And starting Dirty Harry, I'm like, dude, this is like exactly like Cobra, but the 70s. I think Cobra was trying to be Dirty Harry of the 80s.
Where did you get to watch Dirty Harry? Because I've been looking for
it. I own it on my Vudu.
Oh.
All right. So
just the first one?
That's the first. Yeah, I just had the first one. But anyway, so I'm watching Dirty Harry. I'm like, holy crap, man. This is like so, like it's the same theme, like the cops and they have to stop the criminals and the justice system isn't doing it.
But the dialogue and action is so much better.
It is. Dirty Harry is so much of a better movie. But anyway, what I thought was funny is that the guy who plays his partner in Cobra is the same guy who plays Dirty Harry's partner in Dirty Harry. It's the exact same actor.
Really? Wow. Are you kidding me?
No, it's the exact same actor. He's playing the exact same role in those two movies. Like he's Sylvester Stallone's sidekick in Cobra. 10 years later
or whatever?
And he's... Harry or Clint Eastwood's sidekick and Dirty Harry, like his partner or whatever, and they both get shot. and end up like in the hospital. Like it's like the same like storyline, same character.
Did say everything. It was the same movie, pretty much. Yeah,
it pretty much is. But anyway, it's the same. The actor's the guy who plays Poppy in Seinfeld.
Poppy,
the guy who pees on the couch.
I don't know Seinfeld.
I don't remember. I've watched
it. If it's much more than the soup Nazi, I don't really know.
I don't remember.
Anyway, all
right. Or Elaine Danson or something, but yeah.
I started watching last night, just yesterday, the Alfred Hitchcock Presents Hour from like 1955.
Oh, that can't hold up very well.
It's funny though, because like the first episode, I've seen it before. I used to watch some of it, but I don't remember.
Well, you were alive back then.
Yeah. Yes, I was. I was back alive in 1955. But no, it was. Then I was thinking, I was like, because it had the thing up there that said copyright 1955 or whatever. I was like, Jesus, that's like 70, almost 75 years old. 70 years old, 69 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I watched the first one, and like halfway through it, I was like, I don't remember. Like, I know how this goes. And I was like saying the line to it.
Really? Wow.
Well, because the hook is, there's this lady, basically she gets attacked in her motorhome or whatever. And her husband like is driving down the street trying to get her away from it. And as they're driving down the street, she's like, there he is. There's the guy that attacked me. And so the husband like pulls over.
You're having like a deja vu moment, huh?
Wait,
like,
no. So the husband pulls over.
I think I've seen this before.
Yeah, I have. And the husband,
I think I know what he's going to say.
He pulls over and he goes up to the apartment and he kills the guy, right? So he goes back down and he gets in the car and they're still driving along the road. And then they get like a couple. She's like,
I see the guy.
Oh, there he is. That's the guy who attacked me. And the husband's like,
oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So I was like halfway through, and then I was like, oh yeah, now I remember where this is going. Yeah, it's, they had, and I didn't even almost recognize her, but the second episode that I watched had Cloris Leachman in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, Cloris Leachman. And then like she came on and I didn't even recognize her because she was so young. I remember Cloris Leachman from like Blazing Saddles and freaking, was it the... the black and white one.
She did look rather old, but yet she looked the same for like 30 years after that, too, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah. What else did you watch?
I watched Bugsy. Have you guys seen Bugsy before?
Yeah. Isn't that the one with that one?
Warren Beatty and Annette Bening about.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah. Bugsy Malone or Bugsy Siegel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It holds up pretty well. It's a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But then I realized, like, it's pretty fictionalized. Like, it's not very historically accurate at all.
Really? Oh, God,
no. Because I started looking up on Wikipedia.
Oh, you started looking
up. And I was like, oh, that's not how it happened. That's, you know, so anyway. But it's a pretty good movie. It's pretty solid. But yeah, those are the three. Oh, and then I saw Creed 3.
Okay.
Have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen any of them.
Yes, I did. The one with Jonathan Majors, yes.
You haven't seen any of them?
Mm-hmm. I watched the first and the third. I didn't watch the second.
I've seen all of them.
Really likes them, but I haven't watched them.
Okay. Jonathan Majors was really good in it, right?
He is so good in it.
Too bad he's a horrible person. Yes. He's never going to act again.
He is such a great actor. But he just...
But,
yeah.
But yeah, he was really good in it. Like, he was the
best
part.
Too bad he wasn't so good in Court. He should have been a better actor.
Well, yeah, I think there was evidence.
Oh.
But yeah, so... But yeah, he kind of made the movie. I thought that was a weird one. Dude, have you seen it recently?
A couple months, maybe.
It's like, it's almost like the middle fight had more tension and excitement than the final fight.
The final fight.
It was kind of weird. Yeah. But it was okay. Like I said, he was the best part. And I thought, all those boxing movies are the same.
No, they're all the same.
But they're still
entertaining. Somebody gets their ass kicked and then they come back to do whatever else.
And I'm watching it with my wife. And she's like, I don't understand boxing. I'm like, you used to watch boxing in years. Like, yeah, when there were good boxers, I would watch boxing. Boxing is awesome. And she's like, yeah, I just don't understand boxing. I'm like, I don't know, man. There's something cool about two guys getting in a ring and just trying to beat the shit out of each other. I don't know what it is.
For the most part.
But I don't think women get that.
It's Fight Club.
I kind of am.
In a way. I'm not a big boxing guy.
Oh man, I used to.
I used to, like, when Tyson was boxing, it was great. And Holyfield.
4 seconds.
Well, sometimes. Not always.
Yeah, but when in his prime, yeah. I mean, that's what made it so good, though, in some ways, was like, oh, my God.
You know what the hell is going to happen? Could be over in 4 seconds. Could be over in two rounds.
Did I talk about last week about Mission Impossible?
Nope.
Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Did you watch it? I haven't seen it yet.
I thought you...
I've got it, and I've had it for like freaking months. I thought you months. Saw it in
the
theater. No,
I saw it in
no.
the theater.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it in the theater?
I always see Mission Impossible in the theater because they're great movies.
No, they're awful because they have a particular person in it, but...
Why does everybody hate Tom Cruise?
There's I love Tom
Cruise. I have hated Tom Cruise.
There's a guy.
Years. He hates Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise.
There's a guy at work.
Tom Cruise is one of my favorite
that refuses stars. To watch a movie if Tom Cruise is in it.
Oh, I watch. I watch Tom Cruise.
Saying there's a guy.
I don't know why people hate Tom Cruise.
I watch Tom Cruise movies all the time. I just refuse to pay for them.
He is getting a little long in the tooth.
He is. He's too much plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like when they have the scene with. What the hell happened with Simon Pegg? That dude's like, he needs to eat something or something. Like his skin has tightened around his body and he looks like 90. Mm-hmm. He looks like a skeleton.
Talk about your Mission Impossible.
I'm right. So the scene with Simon Pegg and Bing Rames is like aging too. And then they
imagine that.
Yeah, well, they're all like, of them. They've been making Mission Impossible movies for like 30 years.
Exactly.
But it hit me when they were all three there and I was like, oh my God, these guys need to stop making Mission Impossible movies because they're friggin' old.
Hopefully there's only one more there. Yeah, but...
I did not realize that was Peggy.
Peggy?
From Captain America.
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Not until like halfway through the movie. She looked totally different.
Yeah.
Okay. She looked different.
Anyway. It was fine.
You also have the girl that plays Mantis as well. She plays like the bad one, I think, or something. Palm.
Oh, that is Mantis. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
I don't know if I made that connection either. But anyway. Yeah. So what did you think of the movie?
It was fine. It was one of the
I
better
need to go
Mission
home
Impossible
and watch it now.
Movies. But it wasn't
I don't know if it was the one of the better. It was good.
It wasn't like great.
I thought the last two or three were really good. This one was not as good as the last three. I love Ghost Protocol. That one's really good.
Yeah.
And then I really liked Rogue Nation and the last one with Henry Cavill. I thought that one was really good.
Did you like that one? Yeah. It was all right.
I don't understand how when you're fighting on a train going 200 miles an hour, you can fight on top of a train.
You can't.
You can't, but that's part of the fun.
And get kicked and it's like not fall off the side.
Hey, Don, it's not it's not non-fiction.
Suspend belief. Yes.
It's fiction. It's made up.
It was fine. It was a good 2.5 hours or whatever it was.
Like, the Marvels started on Disney Plus.
Oh no, I need to watch that.
It started streaming. That's the the one with the Captain Marvel ish sequel. Captain Marvel.
What is that? This is why that movie bombed.
Oh, the Marvels. It's on Disney.
It's on Disney Plus. It just came out.
Okay, I was thinking more like the. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, it's a horrible name for the movie because everybody's like, the Marvels? What is that? Because it's confusing because they should have called it Captain Marvel 2.
Captain
and people
Marvel.
Would know what the hell you're talking about. But they're called the Marvels, trying to be cute.
Captain Marvel Part 2.
Yeah. Or call it Captain Marvel 2, the Marvels or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't call it...
I thought it was like some...
Some new Marvel thing.
Some new Marvel thing.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Thing.
Yeah. That's why they called it Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. They just call it Wakanda Forever.
But that would have made more sense because it's Wakanda.
That's right.
I mean, I would have got Wakanda Forever more than the Marvels.
The Marvels. Because there's too many things called like Marvel. Because there's...
Yes.
Because what was the TV show called?
When did it drop? They didn't even...
Well, you had Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Yeah, that's why it's so confusing.
It just dropped Wednesday. So it just dropped this week.
Today
or today.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah, today is
the 7th.
Wednesday, yeah.
Is that today?
So, yeah. So it just came out today.
Okay.
So...
Just dropped on.
Yeah, just
you're not too far.
So be able to watch it this weekend, probably. But,
I know. I'd like to watch
it. It's worth a watch. I mean, I liked it. It's short and it's funny.
It is short? Type.
Yeah, it's only like an hour and a half.
Oh, nice.
A little over
they
that.
They cut it down. Because they realized there wasn't much there.
Yeah, that's really the thing. There is not much substance to that movie. So, but the freaking Flurkin, man. They're pretty funny.
That Flurkin.
So I think that's all I really watched. So we should talk about some comic books.
Probably so. I read Immortal Sergeant.
Ooh. Dude, that... Why did they cop out on that? That's like a crappy presentation.
Well, it's because it's kind of like a manga-ish style.
Yeah, but they should have printed it.
Honestly, I like the way that they did it.
It's super thick.
I think that's why.
I think that's why. It's got this nice, thick type thing. I mean, the art in this in general...
And the art doesn't need a big size.
That's where I was going. It's simple. I mean, the art is solid, but it's got a certain simplicity to it, you know, that keeps things...
I want
to
know what you guys think about it.
All right, let's go.
I enjoyed it for the most part. Yeah. I mean, it's got a little bit... It took a little bit for me to get going, and it's almost too... slice of life almost in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot trying of to set
character
up.
Building.
Yeah, and things of this nature. But I think there's some of that problem there of the character buildup, but it's almost like a repetitive character buildup.
Yeah,
really. It's like, I think we've got the point, you know, that
this guy's a jerk, this guy's a goofball.
That's right.
They don't have a good relationship.
I
figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. And yet they still have to. Beat it in some ways.
No, I super liked it. Like, I really liked it. I think Don was right. It's really good. I did think it did get a little long in the tooth. Like, there were parts that you could have been cut. Like, that scene where he's talking to that waitress, you know, and he's, like, figuring out that she tried to commit suicide. And it's like, I mean, that's cute and all, but was that really necessary? You know what I mean? Like, did that really...
I think it was trying to endear you a little bit more to the sergeant, you know?
Yeah, maybe. He
does
care about people.
That's right. He cares about people. His method sometimes is not always the best.
Yeah.
But it can come through in some ways.
Correct.
You know, so I think there was some possibilities of that. But I felt like they really drew, you know, had it drawn out to him trying to catch up to the guy, you know, type things. Oh, I'm going to go here and try to catch this guy and get down to this to try to find out where this one's at, you know, and things.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, would you just...
But it didn't really feel like it was long or took. I mean, it took a while to read because it was so
dense. It's so thick,
and it's 9 issues. But I mean, it didn't like feel like it dragged.
No, I didn't feel like it dragged. I just felt like, you know, that typical type of little bit of a slice of life thing where you find some parts, you know, some conversations are a little bit don't hit you quite as well as some others, you know, or some points in the story probably just don't, you know. And it could be different for everyone. Maybe that's why they have it all in there, you know, in some cases. But some parts I found more interesting than others. In others, I'm just like, oh, my God, would they just get on with it already?
Yeah.
I want to hurry up and get there. But from an overall story perspective and the buildup of the characters, along with the art and stuff, I did enjoy because it almost has a feel of, you know, we know certain people like this, you know, in different ways. You know, I mean, obviously maybe not to that extent, you know, of things, but we've maybe encountered people that are that way, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, kind of, either, you know, rather prejudiced in some of their aspects, you know, of things. And on the flip side, that are just, you know, broke in different ways and you know, the whole family dynamics, you know, and things.
I thought it was interesting how it did come around and how that girl was murdered the same day that he was born. And that kind of caused the dad to kind of almost pull away from fatherhood a little bit because he didn't want to get hurt. Right. Like, so he kind of distanced himself because he could see how badly it could go. You know?
Exactly right.
So he always kind of held back a little bit and never was quite
in some ways how crappy the world is, you know, in some ways, you know,
I kind of got out of it that he was so set on solving that murder that he didn't have time for a family.
I didn't get that. No, I think he saw that kid die, and then he was so scared that he would love that kid too much, and then if something happened to that kid, he couldn't handle it, so he kind of held himself back. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, but...
You took it, or do you think he was just too busy solving a murder?
I think he was, in my opinion, I think I was maybe more to that side, where he was so, I just had this child, and I saw this child die. I am dead set on, you know, capturing this guy because I want to protect my family. You know, I couldn't protect this girl. I got a new family. I want to protect that. I'm dead set on finding this murderer. You know, I'm putting him to justice.
Yours seems better. That's just what I got out of it. Now I feel like an idiot.
Well, no, it's kind of good.
No,
it's
kind of agreeing with you. So, like, I'm more on that side. But you know, in the end of the day, it could go either way. Maybe it was a mix of it.
It could have been very much too, so.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, and it was very well done.
I thought it was one of the better things that I've read.
It was probably the best thing I read this year until I read Where the Body Was.
Mm.
Cool. So, are we done with this? Are you going to tell us about this one?
Where the Body Was? All right, so Brubaker's quickly becoming, like, one of my favorite writers.
Oh.
Like, he's already, but he might be, like, it. I don't know. This book is, like, everything I want from a comic book. Like, it's got this, I don't know, for some reason lately I've been thinking about, like, being young and dumb and, you know, what you thought was important when you were, like, a teenager and a college student. You know what I mean? All the...
I just like the simpler times. I bet I have been thinking about that sometimes.
Yeah, and so this book...
But I didn't give a shit about anything except for just...
It's really interesting because it's...
Where was I going to eat that night?
It's not really a crime comic, but it kind of is. It's basically about this, like, neighborhood where some stuff is going on. And it kind of gives you a perspective from each person's, like... There's, like, seven characters, and you get kind of each person's kind of perspective of what happened, you know?
Ooh. Okay.
But it sounds bad, but it's...
You're not selling that to me.
No, but it's really good the way it's done. The way he weaves it together.
Okay.
It's like, it doesn't really feel like that, right?
Okay.
It's not like you see what this person saw than what this person saw. No, I mean, you kind of get that, but no, it's more of, it flows better, right? Because Brubaker is such a master of, like, narrating and reweaving a story and kind of keeping you engaged. But then it turns out it's really not about what happened. It's really almost like a treatise on, like, you know, youth and, you know, and you get to see what happens to these characters, like, later in their life and how their perspectives change at the end. It's just really interesting and kind of thoughtful and just has this, like, really cool emotional, like, interesting core on top of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it really, I literally just read it, like, an hour ago.
Oh, and so you're still high.
So I'm high on it, dude.
You're
but,
still high.
But, yeah, no, it's really good. I think Brubaker just did a masterful job, like, weaving it all together.
Well, hopefully that comes in my order.
Yeah. So Scott will read it, and then you can read it. And you guys should. I probably talked it up too much, so you probably won't like it as much.
I do not know what.
I did. What the hell Drew was talking about. But it is Brubaker and Phillips, so you know it's going to be solid, right?
Absolutely.
Like, they never miss. It's better than. Definitely better than Night Fever.
It was better than
I toned you Night out. Fever. I toned you out just because I didn't want anything spoiled. So you didn't build it up too much for me.
Okay, good. Well, I don't think I gave much of the plot away.
And I don't know that.
I just gave you kind of like an overview.
I hope I get it. Cool. If I don't get it, I'll have to.
Well, it was weird. Like, it came out, but I didn't get it right away. Like, I had, like, the comic book store didn't give it to me, even though it was out. And so I had to get it, like, the next time.
The weird, I realized, because I was waiting for my Savage Dragon Archives or whatever the hell it's called. I didn't order it, I guess.
You didn't order the Savage Dragon Archives?
Mm-hmm. Ultimate Collection. Why would you? Yeah. You own them all, don't you?
But I wanted to buy it in the hardcover. I bought the first one. I plan on buying all of them.
Oh, that?
But I didn't.
Sounds like a
I guess thing. I missed it or something, because it's not orders. It's not, I know, right?
Are you going to make a in-stock trade?
I probably will. Because I was looking at
with this weird thing.
I was looking at it, and then I was like, well, maybe I should get it off Amazon. Amazon didn't even have it at a discount, so... Unless it goes on sale, I'll probably do my in-stock trades.
So what did you think of the Savage Dragon 100-page spectacular? This thing is, like, weird. It's, like, it suddenly aged in the paper and things.
How is that a 30th anniversary?
I don't even know what the point of this
is. How is that a 30th anniversary?
Oh, I'm stumped. All right. Yeah, the Savage Dragon 30th anniversary, 2 years late.
It looks weird.
And they did a wedding because Angel and the Frank Jr. getting married finally.
Why would they do that?
They probably don't ruin it. If you read the issue, you would know.
They probably don't. There's probably some kind of
thing
that happens.
It actually goes through. He does this cool thing narratively where he goes through, like, their whole history together.
Oh, nice.
Through the years, so it kind of, like, gives you a history of their relationship, and it kind of hits all the main points that kind of meshes all together.
Gotcha.
And then they have the wedding.
Wow.
And then it's sweet. Over. There is a big twist at the end that you'll never see coming.
Never. Never ever.
Which is pretty cool. Pretty cool twist. I mean, it's pretty goofy. It's pretty out there. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's typical Savage Dragon. But
my comics are in the mail.
This was $10. And normally Savage Dragon is what? $3.99 or $4.99? Probably $3.99.
But then they add all that old stuff in the back.
And they added a couple new stories.
That didn't look
that weren't
stories.
Very good.
They're all
and then
like...
they added a bunch of old stuff. So there's not much in this 100 issue to justify the $10 price tag. Eric Larson's lucky that I really like Savage Dragon and I don't really care. And I can afford $10, but it just seemed a bit
of
a cash grab.
He can. Yeah.
He can.
So. But.
Cool.
But no, it was fine. It was good.
Looked like the worst issue ever.
Well, it's a wedding issue. And it goes through the relationship history of these two. So if you're not into that, it's probably not going
to
be much
bag on Savage Dragon. A lot.
I would like to
So I thought, no, Don, what are you doing? You're supposed to be reading your single issues.
I know.
What the hell is
okay,
this?
Okay, so here's the story.
Right, so, Scott? Didn't he say, I'm not reading my hardcovers, I'm just reading my single issues to get caught up?
I don't know. I don't really listen.
Yeah, Scott doesn't listen to me. So, the deal is, I wanted to get caught up on X-Men.
Yeah.
But X-Men is getting ready to go into their
none of that looks like an
phase,
X-Men title.
Third phase.
Where they're going to kill off, they're going to kill Krakoa.
This is how you lose, Don.
So, I had to get caught up on the other stuff that I already have before I start the third phase.
Can I say something?
No.
So I read X-Men all the way up to Fall of X. I have Fall of X number one. So I had to read this.
Can I say something?
What is this? Sure. How many is it? It's like five volumes.
Were any of your singles issues Hellions, Marauders, or X-Force?
No, I didn't read
Okay, so you I don't read... have to read every X-Men title.
No, I know.
Okay, so you could have skipped these, read your single issues, you would have been fine.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is stuff in here that answers
that ties
some
in.
Questions.
It does. It ties in. But you didn't have to read those
and here's the
before
thing
you
too.
Read the single issues. You go back and read it later and be like, oh, so that's what that meant.
These are really good. Like, I'm impressed with... They're, you won't think they're good.
Okay.
But I read so much stuff. Like, I gave up on the X-Men stuff. Some of these are really good. Like, I really enjoyed Hellions. I really enjoyed the X-Force books.
Were you still reading your 10 single issues a day?
No.
Dude.
No, I fell completely off the wagon.
And I just, well, hell, each one of those books are probably like 10
but
issues,
but they're not
a
single issue, Scott. They're hardcovers.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to read his
hardcovers. These are like 12. 12, 24, 36. That one's like 18.
See,
really,
I think you did
these
fine.
Writers.
I think you did a wonderful
actually,
job.
I don't like Percy.
You read more
like,
than what
I
you were
actually
want to
buy more that I haven't bought
like
that I want to read. I want to read the I'm going to read
like
the X
Duggan.
Factor.
Is it Duggan or Dugan?
I don't know.
So what did you think of the Marauders?
So the Marauders is pretty...
Are we going to go through each one?
The Marauders is pretty cool. The Marauders... So what I like about this is like just reading the X-Men books. And I've read the X-Men, the New Mutants, and the and Wolverine are the ones that I've kept up on.
Yeah.
And I read Immortal X-Men, which Immortal X-Men is a really cool book. I told you guys this before because I've talked about it, but it's more like a political power thing because it's mostly about the council. Because I have like 9 people on the council, so it's always people trying to snake behind other people to like grab more power and, you know, screw somebody over and stuff. Like, it's more like political.
There's no nudity in this.
There isn't. The Marauders...
Almost, I guess maybe there is a little bit here. I don't know.
The Marauders is basically Kitty Pryde. I can't remember who else is on it. But
Iceman, Storm.
Iceman. Storm's in it a little bit.
Maybe some boy fire.
Oh, yeah. And so the basic premise of the Marauders is that Kitty Pryde, and it's backed by the Hellfire Trading Company, which is...
And
Emma Frost. They go around because there are some countries that didn't sign up with Krakoa. They didn't drink the Kool-Aid kind of thing. And they're not letting like their mutants from their countries like go through the gates to go to Krakoa. So the Marauders are, it's Kitty Pryde is like the captain of a ship, and it's a boat, like on the water. And they go around.
So she's a pirate.
Yes, she's a pirate, basically, yeah. And so they go around to the all these countries, and they basically rescue the refugee mutants that can't escape from their country, and then
nice.
Bring them to Krakoa.
Cool.
So
did you enjoy it?
I did.
There's 2 volumes of this?
Yeah.
So what is that, like equivalent of 24 issues?
Yeah, about. They did something really weird, though, because they had that X of Swords, and it ran through everything.
Mm-hmm.
All of these, they skipped the X of Swords issues.
Yeah,
so
did you buy those hardcovers?
Yeah.
Did you buy those in single issues?
I didn't buy all of them. I only bought the titles that I was already buying, so gotcha. I didn't even get the whole X of Swords. And, of course, then I went online because I'm like, oh, I'm really digging this stuff. Maybe I'll buy the X of Swords. It's like out of print, and it's like $200 for like a hardcover now.
Really?
So like, ah, screw that. I don't want it that much.
That seems, yeah, kind of shitty.
The X-Force book is really kind of cool. I liked it.
There's two of those as well.
There are two of these as well.
So another 24? Wolverine issues in there.
X-Force is still going. These, I think, ended. X-Force is still going. I know, like, right now it's on issue 50. So there will probably be a couple more of these hardcovers. And the Hellions... the Hellions is... is it Mr. Sinister?
Havoc. Yes. Havoc's on the cover.
Right. So it's Havoc, Wildchild... Psylocke, well, they changed his name because it was, it hurt, or it was, insensitive, but Scalp Hunter from the Marauders, so it's got, and then it's got, who was it? Nanny, the robot, the egg robot lady, you know, from, like, the X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nanny, and then, Empath from the original Hellions. And they're a team, and they're basically Mr. Sinister's kind of strike force. So, like, Mr. Sinister, like, sends them out on stuff that he wants them to do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, because Mr. Sinister has, like, secretly been cloning himself. And really? So he has, like, all these clones. And it's almost like, because I did watch, like, a couple episodes of Invincible on Prime. But the clones, they don't know which one. Like, the Mr. Sinister clone thinks he's, like, the real Mr. Sinister. So, yeah. Like, they argue and stuff. So, it reminded me of that a little bit. But I'm really, like, this stuff that I read, I think is really good. I was...
Kept you engaged.
I was pleasantly...
Was it equivalent to 10 issues a day?
No.
Then you failed.
I did fail.
So disappointed.
Well, here, if you really want to know why, but you don't. And then
I do it anyway.
X-Force was Wolverine. This one was okay. Like, I liked it. The team wasn't as great. It was basically just Wolverine, that Omega Kid or Quentin Quire.
Hate that guy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. And then, Hank is like...
That one
sending
person.
Him out.
Yeah.
The Beast. He's like pulling the strings. So he's like in charge of all of the, the security type stuff.
People.
For Krakoa.
Yeah.
And so X-Force is kind of like his team that he's sending out. Which when I was reading through the current Wolverines, like up to Fall of X, there's a bunch of Beast stuff in there. Hank stuff. And he went off like the deep end. Like he went way out of character. Like he was like, he was almost like Cable from the early X-Force, but like to the extreme where he's going out and killing and you know, really, really, really on the offensive to where he like basically turns on Krakoa and the mutants and just goes off on like this crazy like tangent thing.
Yeah.
And so I haven't really figured out exactly why he was doing that. And then there was something weird going on with Colossus. In the new X-Men and the Immortal X-Men stuff that I was reading that's newer. And it kind of, I think it was the Hellions, maybe, where it went into that and kind of explained that a little bit. But I would like to try the X-Force. They didn't do a hardcover of it. They just have trade paperbacks. So there's like 12 issues of an X-Force series that Leah Moore... Leah Moore? I think it's Alan Moore's daughter.
Okay.
She wrote the X-Force, and then they did X-Men Red, where basically they populated Mars or whatever. That was in one of, like, the Hellfire, one of the Hellfire galas.
Mm-hmm.
And Storm is kind of, like, leading the Mars one. That sounded kind of interesting.
Yeah.
They did
mention... That sounds interesting.
Well, that's fine, dude, but, like, I was enjoying it.
Glad you're enjoying it.
That's the
not
thing,
my
dude.
X-Men.
This is all I've read, so I'm done
not
after
my
this.
X-Men.
But I was thinking about that, and then there was something that they talked about in one of the newer books or whatever about Nightcrawler. Like Nightcrawler had some kind of deal going on, And I think there was like a 5-issue miniseries called like Way of the X or whatever that dealt with Nightcrawler. So if I can find that, I'd like to pick that up and maybe read that.
I'm so glad they take the X and they spread it amongst like 10 different books.
I know.
You know, Chris Claremont somehow did it all in just
one book. All this stuff came out like a couple years ago?
Yeah.
No, oh, I thought this was like older than that.
No, this, well, this is the first phase of Hawks, Pox, the well, they call it the Krakoan Age now.
Hawks Pox, I like that better.
Hawks Pox, and then the Krakoan Age, and then there's like, there's a middle part, and then now is the Fall of X, and then they're going to reboot everything and revamp everything. I really hope that they get rid of, which I think they will, but I hope they get rid of the, how they can just grow a new body, and because nobody's the original person. I think everybody's been killed now. And they're in a clone, and their personality's been downloaded into a clone body. Which is kind of interesting. I think it was in X-Force, they kind of went into that, because Wolverine's been killed so many times.
Yeah.
They don't go around and pick up his skeleton, so there's, like, all these adamantium skeletons, like, laying around.
Nice.
And, like, somebody, like, went around and got it, and got, like, a big collection of, like, adamantium now. They were using it to, like, do enhancements on other mutants and stuff. But, the thing I don't like is all the resurrection. Because it's, I mean, you'll sit there and read a, you know, a story, and they'll just kill whoever, you know, Rogue or Wolverine or whatever, you know. And it's like back in the day, like, nobody could kill him. They would always come find out a way. And now it's just like a crutch. It's like, oh, now all of a sudden they can kill him. And then we just bring him back.
Just downloaded.
You know what I mean? And
what was that one show? Altered Carbon or whatever like that? Or it's like, yeah, we'll just download them into another little thing.
But you could like kill their stack.
That's true.
It's kind of interesting for a beginning. At the beginning, it was kind of interesting. But I think a lot of the creators or artists or writers or whatever, they really drove it into the ground. Like, they just kept using it. Well,
that's why Hickman wanted to move to the next phase, and his guy's like, no, let's stay in this phase a while.
Yeah.
No, dude, Hickman's way better than you. Listen to him.
He is. And apparently that Ultimate Spider-Man number one just, like, went completely bonkers and sold out.
Did you buy it?
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He got, like, 5 copies of it.
Now, I wish. I only bought one.
What?
I know.
That just
and I just got the regular cover. I didn't get one of the
cool variants.
37,000 variants that there are.
Yeah, that sounds like bad luck for you. I read know. Ignition City from Warren Ellis.
Yes.
Yes.
And was it better than all the X-Men stuff that I just talked about?
Probably not, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. This thing's trying to... Drew talked a little bit about it, I think, last time, in which, you know, the whole idea is we've got space flight and things. It's taking place, around the 1950s, kind of old steampunk type of things. But that right now, all the space flight's been kind of outlawed to one area now type things. But it's trying I think Warren Ellis is trying to get his inner Alan Moore, you know, from like a kind of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen there a little bit, you know, and things, and try to bring back some of these people that were in other, you know, stories, you know, Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, you know, and things.
Did you like all those little references, though?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm sure there's others that probably went way over my head because I don't know it, you know, probably as
I didn't really know it. I had to, like, look it up. So, it's like, oh, yeah, and then it started to click.
Things, but, like, oh, yeah. But some of them did try to, but for the most part, because you gave me a little bit of an intro, I think I got the big ones that I needed to, you know, type stuff. So, but overall, it's not bad. The art is really great throughout.
I didn't like it at first, and then it, like, super grew on me.
Really? Yeah.
The first few pages were like,
I liked it. And but it's typical kind of Warren Ellis. I mean, he's got a little bit of his witty charm, you know, and dialogue there. I feel like the pacing was somewhat maybe a little
off. It started slow.
Yeah.
It took a little while to get going,
you know, and things and trying to understand the stuff. I mean, overall, it's kind of got this little murder mystery thing going on. You know, it feels like it was a good, you know, shot of something to try to set something up, it just never went anywhere. I mean, it feels really, you know, it doesn't feel necessarily like a complete story. While it
correct.
Ends at, it kind of you know, ends. A point there that's okay, it also feels like it's almost was just an entire setup
for building to something else.
Building to something else.
The other thing is, like, he's created this whole, like, world you know, alternate history thing that he's obviously put a lot of thought into, and he gives you little hints of it, but you really don't get the full picture of it as well. It's like, it's like he probably has it all planned out, but he never got to develop it, you know. Which is kind of cool, because then it makes it feel like, you know, it makes it feel more lived in, you know. But at the same time, you kind of feel gypped a little bit.
Yeah.
As a reader, because you're like,
because you're not entirely sure why we're not really doing the space travel much anymore, or what the heck happened.
We're like, where was this planet they went to? Where this guy was at? It was,
and there was something there going on with Mars, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit too. They hint at a bunch of stuff that they never really developed.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing there.
Yep, there is a little bit of that where it just feels like stuff was left on the table, or stuff was out there that maybe they were going to get to later that they just never had the opportunity. But you're right, it's like these little dropping some breadcrumbs, but never really you get much of a chance there with. So it's not bad. Like I say, I wouldn't say it's one of Warren's better things, but there again, it's better than a lot of other things that are out there.
So. Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it.
I read that whenever it came out. I have the single issues.
We know.
Oh, I don't remember. I bet those are worth millions now.
Oh, I'm sure. They probably are. Yeah. Higher.
So
just sell them and then you don't have to ever work again.
Go get them graded, though, first.
Yeah, so make sure you see GC.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to get them autographed.
Yeah.
Get them autographed, CGC witness.
Okay, Drew.
I read there once was a mouse. This was that prairie dog, it's Literati Press. It was like one of the little independent things that they're selling. So I think this guy isn't Joe Worley. Doesn't he come to AirCon? Joe Worley. Isn't he local?
Joe Worley.
Doesn't he usually have a booth at AirCon?
Maybe, I don't.
So anyway, he made a comic. It's pretty cool. It's got cool art. I think you'll dig the art. Look at it. But I mean, there's not much to the story. It's basically these two mice that are trying to steal a key. And it's like a big, long, drawn-out action sequence of them trying to steal this key.
How come ocular combustion is in that prairie dog?
Right, I know. Why don't you call Mark, pull up a... I just need to ask him. I'm sure he'll put it out. But,
yeah, cool.
But anyway, it's pretty cool. It's like a big, long action sequence.
It sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
That's fine. But yeah, no, it's fun. It's an indie book.
Nice.
And then I read the Weatherman finally came back.
Wow, I was like, that was like that came out like 5 years ago, didn't it?
This is volume three. Yeah. So last series, they did three volumes, like seven issues each.
I didn't order that.
I
passed on it.
Excelente.
Is it?
Oh my gosh, such a good single issue. I wish I remembered more of their previous thing, but I kind of did, and they give you enough, but it gives, like, the main guy who's the Weatherman, who turns out he blew up the world or set the bomb off that killed all the people. That's the criminal. Do you kind of remember the story?
I don't even remember if I read the second volume of that book.
I don't even care about that, but yeah,
right.
But anyway, so this gives his backstory, like kind of why he got where he got and why he was where he was, and
get what you get.
And it's kind of a PTSD type of story, and I thought it was done like really well. Like I felt it really kind of hit that, you know, PTSD thing really well.
And that's the entire volume three?
This is one issue of volume three. But it's a pretty dense read. And I felt it was really good. It had a lot. No, I like it. And Nathan Fox art is amazing.
You usually don't like all those words in your comic books.
That is true.
I'm fine with words as long as they're good words.
As long as they make sense or they have a purpose.
If they have a purpose. I don't like people just rambling, describing what happened in the
picture. Over and over and over again.
Oh my God, just make it well written. That's I don't care about words as long as it's well written.
Skeeter.
I didn't read Skeeter's number two. Did you get this shit?
No.
Oh, this is fun. I'm really enjoying it now. Like, the first issue was okay because it was all set up, but now we're in full B-movie mode where they're just running around the town, getting attacked by Skeeters and fighting and getting... You know, I don't know, it's a good time.
Who's the writer artist on that?
Kelly Williams is the artist.
Who is it? I was going to say, from a distance, it looked like it was somebody that I was familiar with.
Talk about that.
And the last thing I read was Laura by Gulam March and other stories. Like, he did that book that I really liked called, what was it called?
About the Ghost Lady?
Yeah, about the Ghost Lady.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Anyway, I really like that.
I know what you're talking about.
And this was like, this is his early stuff. So like, I'll check that out. It's like...
It's a reason why it's his early stuff.
Yeah, it's very...
Feeling his voice.
It's totally slice of life. Like, no hook. Like, the ghost story, at least it had, like, the whole cool ghost thing, you know?
Like, yeah.
But this is like just, hey, this is what happened to me when
it
I
was
went
like
to
the lady's name. I think you read it too. It had a lot of nudity.
I did. It. Yeah, I remember.
Mara.
Or I don't know. I said Molly, but I know Molly. That wasn't quite right.
Maliora.
But yeah. Anyway, this is okay, but nothing great. The art's still okay, but even I think his art has gotten a lot better.
In the other one, compared to this,
compared to this. And then it's got a couple little extra little one-off stories that he did for like anthologies and stuff, which were kind of just cute little one-off.
Kind of.
One was very meta. Both of them, I think, were actually very meta. Yeah, it was okay.
Meta. Wow.
So, meh. It's probably going in to get rid of pie.
Yeah.
Get rid of for a dollar.
Yeah, let's diamond spy for a dollar.
Yeah, I'll give you a dollar right now for it.
Yeah, not right
now. Wow.
Well, let's sit for a while.
I got a dollar.
Let's
sit for a while.
It was probably only what?
Too expensive.
God dang. It was like $300.
It's a hardcover.
Holy shit.
It was $20.
There's no way Drew's paying $300.
It's a hardcover.
Yeah, it's a thin.
A beautifully
very thin
language story of unrequited love.
All right, do we all read The Goon?
He who breaks the law goes back to the house of pain.
What?
You didn't read it?
I did read it. Do we read the same thing?
Yeah.
I hope I did. I don't know. I may have read the wrong one.
The law.
He who breaks the law? What are you talking about? We did Once Upon a Hard Time.
Yeah, I know. When he's waiting at the bus station.
Yeah.
He picks up a book called The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Island of Dr. Moreau. That was a weird.
Oh, that is true. That whole thing through that.
Why did they do that?
Dude, I've never read that or seen the movie.
I've seen the movie. I've never read it.
But I was reading that and it says, he who breaks the law goes back to the house of pain. And I was like,
that's the Island of Dr. Moreau.
No. I didn't get that it was the Island of Dr. Moreau, but that's the House of Pain, the band.
Yeah.
There's a clip in their album that has the jump around on it, and it plays that clip. It must be from the movie from back in the day, not the most recent one, but an old one. Okay. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, I didn't know that was from the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Cool.
I just knew that was from, like, the House of Pain.
Nice. Okay. Channeling your inner 90s child.
I'm kind of surprised that the group, the House of Pain, knows the Island of Dr. Moreau.
There you go.
Man, you've completely waylaid this review.
Oh, I know.
With some random shit.
I read that, and it popped off in my head, like, instantly. Like,
nice. Dude, we're just going to rename you Tangent. That's going to be your new nickname.
It's not a tangent.
It does actually kind of lead into this.
Talking about House of Pain.
I know.
The band.
Wasn't this whole chunk, though, just a big House of Pain?
Dude, this
was
awesome. I mean, it was so sad. It was sad. It was awesome. It was great. Did you guys remember? Okay, so, like, I had to flip back. Because when he said that, when he was talking to the gangster guy, he's like, yeah, your dude's dead. He's like, shouldn't have sent me a molester, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. So I couldn't exactly remember, so I had to flip back. And it was the big goofy guy.
Yeah. Right,
so
right.
It turned
right.
out to be his brother.
Right.
And then the goon killed him.
Right.
Right?
Well, the brother killed the younger one.
And then the goon came in and killed him because he killed the gangster.
He didn't kill
but
him.
But he didn't.
Right.
But in the book, it looks like he did.
Well, it kind of alludes
to
that.
It alludes to it.
Yes.
And so I was flipping through it, and I was like, they show him shaking because he doesn't want to have to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they don't play like bang or anything like
right.
that. They just show him walking out with blood all over the gun in his hand.
Right. Yeah.
So I assumed, like everybody else was supposed to assume that he died. But when I went back and looked at it, I thought that's really weird that they didn't. I still didn't figure it out that he didn't kill him. I was just like, that's a weird way because usually they'll do. Like, if he's walking, if they're showing the out of the house, you'll hear, like, a bang. Or
right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You never heard a gunshot.
That's
it just
right.
went away.
Just went away.
But, I mean, I was just surprised when I got to the end that he wasn't dead.
Right, right.
Because I just assumed that he was. But then it made sense when I went back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, now I understand. But
it's kind of, though, a whole wrap-up of
it is.
The
Did you order the Lords of Misfits or whatever?
Lords of Misery?
Lords of Misery.
I can't remember if I have it or not, man. I thought maybe I did.
You don't have that much stuff. You should be able to track it down.
Dude, I can't even find my BPRD Omnibus Volume 8.
Like, I literally can't locate it.
What the hell?
I know.
It's because that thing ends, but then it leads right into, because it actually says it does.
Continues. Yeah. I don't have that much stuff.
But and at the end,
compared to me, you don't have that much stuff. They basically, and you're organized. You should be able to find stuff easily. Anymore.
I had to pull everything off the shelves and put it back on.
Well, it seems like at the end, though, they basically kind of have saved the city, you know, from whatever the crazy things, and they decided to go on the road trip, you know, type things
with the werewolf boy
who grew his leg back. I was so happy.
And now they're in a circus.
Well, yeah, traveling so, around.
Then he started the second series, however long later, and then he's back on Lonely Street.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured they'd come back. Does it
explain at the beginning?
It doesn't explain anything. And then that Lords of Misery came out like years after that series started, and he's back. Hmm. So I don't know exactly how that ties in.
I don't understand why they didn't
act. The main thing is, so he wrapped up his original.
He did kind of wrap it up.
Yes. You know,
it was a nice.
And I thought it went really well. Like, I liked that. That was probably one of my favorite, like, four issue arcs.
So. Yeah, no, it was super. Except for that stupid Island Dr. Moreau story, it was, like, super strong. I loved everything.
Well, the art is just freaking insane.
It's amazing how he drops from, like, like, just on the same page, he'll go he'll go from, like, a more ink style to, like, a more wash style and kind of pencil it. And it's like, dude, that is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I did like his little one. He's sitting on the bed of the gangster or whatever, and he's talking about, I think I figured out life. Like, you start out at zero, and then then everything messes with you, and it goes up, and he's like, and then things calm down, and you go back down. But you go back down a little bit, but you never go back all the way. And then eventually you're at 100. You're at 100, and you just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
But he liked to break off. He broke off Spider's arm, the spider dude's arm.
Yeah.
And then
he broke
off both of those other guys' arms.
A lot of arm breaking.
There was a lot of arm ripping off and breaking.
What did he I forgot now. What did he do to freaking Rumpelstiltskin or whatever, who isn't that or whatever guy? The guy with the skinned hat.
He killed him.
He does kill him, but how did he do it? I can't even remember now.
I don't remember.
But you never got that? I always got that he was Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was Rumpel, because he goes back and tells the story. But he says that the name is different.
Yeah, he tells the story.
He goes back and tells the story, and Rumpelstiltskin, and then he comes. Yes.
I remember that.
And I don't remember how he killed him, though.
Yeah, I can't remember how he killed him either.
Oh, because the dude comes back. Because the dude that we thought died in the back comes back.
Right, he's like,
now that you killed him, I have all the power now, and you're powerless. And then he shows up, and then he basically just fights him, and he's able to beat the shit out of him because he doesn't have the power that he thought he had. I think.
I don't think they really show how he got killed.
Yeah, they do. It's at the end. It's
Rumpelstiltskin?
No, the dude.
Well, this guy.
Yeah, it doesn't show.
That guy? He shoots him.
When?
At the end. Then the goon's
he does right before he leaves, doesn't he?
Yeah, because that guy's like, oh, now everything's taken care of.
And yeah, goon's like, and he's like, no.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, no, you didn't think that.
There you go.
You saw how this was going to end.
Yeah.
Shoots him in the head.
There you go.
The little werewolf kid, I think, is the one that picks the hat up.
Oh, is he? And then
climbs into the back of the car. And then
climbs in the back, because you don't see, really.
Right, you don't see who picks it up, but I think it's the little kid. Yeah. And then they're like, where's Billy or whatever? So I think he's the one that grabbed it. So it's
Roscoe. Where did Roscoe go?
Roscoe. Okay. Yes. I didn't quite catch
that. I thought you meant the big bad guy.
No, of the gang,
the last one.
Yeah, no. I was talking about, because that was like his big real antagonist throughout the whole thing. Was Skin Hat or whatever you want to call him.
Skin Hat.
So.
Yeah. Cool.
But no, I thought it was super strong ending to the series.
He shot Marvin.
Are we reading the Goon Noir?
Might as well. It finishes off this thing.
There's some Kevin Nolan art in there.
That's right.
It has a lot of cool artists in there.
Yep, I figured so.
The stories all look lame, but we'll read it.
And we'll be done. And you guys have to figure out, did I pick Goon?
Are we picking? I thought we just agreed.
That's fine. I suggest Goon. Does it feel like we've been reading the Goon
forever?
Whatever. I thought it was just like started like a month or two
ago. I'm enjoying it, but it feels like it's
really
going
for some reason.
On.
It felt.
I think because
than,
it's
like,
so original for me,
it felt longer than Fable. It feels feel like we've been reading Fables. A Goon for years.
I do feel like we've been reading Goon.
For really? See, I don't feel like we've been reading that that long. Really? But yeah,
I don't know.
But then I felt like I was reading Berserk forever too. So I'm having a lot of long runs right now.
Are you?
Like the Goon, I'm reading BPRD. I was reading Berserk. It's just a lot of.
I need to start reading my BPRD stuff.
I just got the volume 9. So.
Of the Omna?
Yeah, so only one more after this.
I don't even know how many I have.
10, because it's how many there are. Mm. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Unless you stop buying them.
I don't think I stopped buying them.
All right, then you should have 10.
I should.
Okay.
I should have 2 Savage Dragon hardcovers, but I don't.
That's true. I should have a BPRD volume 8. I don't know where the hell it went.
Is that the one you're on?
Do you
no,
own
I'm on 9.
Morning Glories?
Yeah.
Do you?
We could do a reread of Morning Glories.
Because I think I have the hardcovers. Is there 3 of them? Or
there's
3
hardcovers, but
like
then there's
3 or 4 trades.
There's a couple of trade, 2 trades that happen.
I don't
after
have
that.
Anything. I think I have the 3 hardcovers, but I never bought the trades.
And you've got the trades. Okay. I've got the 3 hardcovers. I don't have the trades either, so... I thought about, though, that I should probably try to do that. But as soon as I do that, they'll actually do the last hardcover.
I don't think
cover.
They're ever doing a hardcover.
I doubt it, too.
Actually, so go ahead. Point. You buy them, and then they'll do it. And then I can buy the hardcover.
There you go. I'll do that.
No, I tried it. I bought the trades.
He did.
And they never
yeah,
did
but
the
I
hardcover.
Know Scott does it.
Oh, dude, I'm more cursed than Scott when it comes to comic books.
Yeah, but Scott never buys anything.
But I don't buy anything, so that's probably why.
True.
So
they'll be like, "Oh my God, Scott bought."
No, I get screwed. I didn't buy the BPRD hardcovers, and they go out of print. They put them in softcovers. I'm like, "What the hell?" I didn't buy the Goons right away, so I had to buy the 3rd Goon Library Edition in softcover because
I got lucky.
You can't get it in hardcover anymore.
I got lucky that I found all of them. That.
I just need to learn.
For a long time.
When shit comes out, you gotta buy it because nothing stays in print. Nothing stays.
No. Very true. Very true.
It's ridiculous. We're in this weird era where like nothing gets reprinted anymore.
They started doing it with a lot of the omnibuses now. That's the new thing is the omnibuses, and they're the same way. If you
I don't know what I think of those.
If
sometimes.
You don't pre-order them and buy them, they're. Some of them are gone.
Yeah,
like
some
will
come
ones,
back.
But then they'll come back, but then they won't. But then you have to wait a couple years. And,
yeah. But I thought about picking up like the Planetary Omnibus, but god dang, they're just such a big freaking book. I just don't know if I really...
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're cool to have and they're cool to have.
Compared to like single issues, you know, type things, I just don't know.
I prefer...
I really like this form.
Yes,
I do like that.
Where it's like about 10 issues.
10 to 18.
Yeah.
12 to 18 is about the right size.
Well, like the hardcovers that we have for Morning Glories. I like that side. Yeah.
Perfect. Like even the Goon, the...
The
this is almost a little bit too
they
much.
They are almost
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The Hellboy ones were a little bit better. I felt like they weren't as thick.
Yeah.
But
we could do Invincible. Did we do that one?
I thought we were going to do it, and then you guys, Don said no. And so we didn't. But he doesn't have Invincible.
I don't have
So we'd all have to be trading the one book?
Yeah. That's the tricky part. You and Yara trading is easy because we live so close. Don's like a whole 5 extra miles
away. Yeah, I'm like a whole 4 or 5 miles away.
It's like you live in a different city.
It's like you're in a different city.
I know. It's hard to get over here.
I hear you. But Morning Glories might be fun. It's short.
It is short, I know.
Yes.
you can mail them to me.
Absolutely.
God.
Actually, Zach's old enough to drive. Just have him drive over to my house and deliver them.
That's
Absolutely.
Right. That's
Sounds
right.
Like a good
plan. I mean, he should do something for his uncle.
I agree.
Oh, well. Anything else?
Nope, I think that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, bye. Bye.